Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. And this past Tuesday evening, a group from CCTA traveled to Wilmington to the new Hanover County School Board meeting in support of free speech rights for Ms. Tammy Koval, who is a member of the school board there and is also a member of the Academic Review Commission that is currently reviewing Common Core standards here in North Carolina. Ms. Koval had made some statements on Facebook, which were a private post and had nothing to do with her job or the performance of her duties, but they were seen by somebody that took exception to them and chose to make a big issue out of it and wanted to deny her her free speech rights and wanted to have her removed from the school board. So they organized some protesters to go to the meeting to try to have Ms. Koval removed from the new Hanover County School Board. Well, I took the opportunity to sit down with a couple of our members that attended that meeting and get a report from them. So let's hear what they had to say. This morning, I'm in the studio with Mary Griswold, author of RightWingGranny.com. She's also a member of CCTA. And Mary, you and a group of CCTA members went down to New Hanover County last night to the school board meeting to support Tammy Koval after she was being attacked by a group that had a problem with some comments she made on Facebook.
Yes. The question really was, do public officials have the right to have their own views? And what had happened, she had posted a comment on a private Facebook page that someone took a screen capture of and posted on a Democrat Party page. And the comment basically said that she held a biblical view of marriage, and she was against the idea of the schools teaching gender fluidity, which evidently was the matter being discussed. And almost immediately, a Facebook page was started, Recall Tammy Koval. And they sent out 1,000 invitations for people to come and protest and ask for her removal from the school board. And those people were supposed to show up last night, and about 15 of them did. And there were also between 10 and 15 people there that supported her right to free speech. And they were charging Mrs. Koval with discrimination. There's no evidence that she has ever discriminated against anyone. And I believe that she is being discriminated against because she holds a biblical belief on marriage.
Right. The reason that you and the other CCTA members went there, of course, is because this is a constitutional conservative group. And this is a free speech issue because, as you pointed out, Tammy was expressing her personal opinion as an American citizen. And, let me see here. I think I've got, here's the exact quote. Koval posted the following comment. Yet another example of why the social issues matter in politics. Gay marriage isn't about marriage rights at all. It's about forcing others to accept a perverted lifestyle choice as normal. It's important to know where the leaders of our party stand on these issues because they have a profound impact on our society. Now, she didn't make this statement in the performance of her duties. She wasn't on the job or performing any of her job's responsibilities when she made this statement. It was on a private Facebook page, and there was no discrimination here, active
no.
discrimination. So,
and there's no history of any discrimination. There's never been any discrimination on her part. This should be a reminder to all of us, though, that anything we post on Facebook is not going to remain private.
Right. And she was also expressing her political party's platform.
Yes. I believe she is a Republican, and that is the Republican Party platform.
Right. So you guys went down there and showed up in force to stand up for her First Amendment rights. And of course, there were the opposition was there, but I understand they left early.
They left early. There was a place for public speaking in the meeting. We chose not to because we were not residents of the community and we were not sure that would be appropriate. But the opposition didn't speak either. The other thing, too, ideally, this needs to be the choice of the voters of New Hanover County. She is an elected official. If they agree with her, they will vote her back into office. If they disagree with her, they will vote her out of office. And that is how our system is supposed to work. We're not supposed to try to remove people from office for exercising their right of free speech.
Absolutely. And, you know, they had a right to express their opinion as well, which they did.
Yes.
What's the word I want to use here? I'm going to tell you what, if you follow some of the comments that were on that page,
there was a certain lack of civility.
Right,
yes.
They can get very ugly, and they did. Bob, you went with Mary. What was your opinion on that?
I was there also. One of the things that we have been able to do recently with the CCTA is we have had a study group on critical thinking, and I think this probably helped in a specific way as we were approached by some of the protesters from the other side, and very, very quickly we would just ask them some very thoughtful questions about why do you think Tammy should not be able to speak freely, and as soon as we're presenting it as a First Amendment right, all of a sudden they're silent. They have no reason why they should prevent her from speaking. And without trying to press the subject, all of a sudden they are silent. And it, by the way, it was fun to have just been armed with intelligence, as that sounds silly, but the
right.
Simplest of armor.
Right.
We were armed with the Constitution.
Armed with the truth also, and the truth
yes.
always prevails. It's interesting how oftentimes they'll pick a topic to be very vocal about, but if anybody else has an opinion on it,
mm-hmm.
they're supposed to remain silent.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes the concept of tolerance doesn't do well on both sides.
Right. It doesn't flow in both directions.
Yes.
I understand. Well, also while you were there, I understand there was another topic that came up, which is caught my attention and picked my interest there, and that's the Summer Food Service Program, or Seamless Summer Meals, I believe it's referred to.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, first, the thing that was interesting to me about that program is that program used to be under the Special Nutrition Program, but on October 1st of 2014, it was moved to the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction. And I'm just curious why you would move a food program from the nutrition area into the school area. That seems a little odd to me. There is, from what I understood on what was said, there is no application made for these free meals. Somehow the school determines, based on other factors, who is eligible.
As they were explaining there, they didn't want the stigma of having to make an application for the meal. They came up with what they were talking about, funding meals. They came up with a statistical formula that said as long as we can prove, I guess it's 62.5% of the people in specific areas are eligible under the poverty level, then you can apply for these meals to get 100% of the meals without any individual application. Well, as we listen to the person explaining, first off, they gerrymandered the schools that they would include, whether they would include them individually or whether they'd include them as a group, in order to get the most people to qualify for this free meal. By the way, Tammy asked, who pays for this free meal? Don't we all as citizens pay for those free meals? And I think the silence was deafening there.
All right, and let me clarify something. Now, y'all were in New Hanover County at a New Hanover County School Board meeting, but this is not specific to New Hanover County. This is all county school boards across the state. It's the Seamless Summer Program. And I understand the only requirement they had was that you were between the age of 1 and 18?
Yes. And they're the basis for this program. Now I need to say up front, nobody wants kids to go hungry in the summer or the winter. That is not what we're talking about. But what we are talking about, essentially, is a runaway federal program.
Right. The way it was originally intended, other families in the community and your churches and civic organizations would take care of that need.
Yes.
Not the Department of Instruction, not the school system. What we're talking about here is during the summer when school is out, providing meals to these kids. And like you said, we're not against them getting food. We don't want them to be hungry. But this is not the method to do it, in my opinion.
Well, it was very interesting when we got into the numbers. And Bob is a bit of a numbers person, and he was doing all kinds of calculations as they were talking. And they quoted the number of $316 a month that a family's grocery budget, food costs, would increase during the summer because the kids were home. Now, we're considering that this is two meals a day, 5 days a week, which works down to 84 meals a month, and that works down to $3.76 per meal.
Considering you have the average of two children per family.
Yes, and so you're talking $8 a day in an increased grocery bill, not in a grocery bill, in an increased grocery bill, or an increased grocery bill of $40 a week for two children. Now,
per child.
Per child, which is kind of high. And my benchmark to kind of judge the extra expense, when we lived in New England, we had a swimming pool. And our kids were in the swimming pool all summer. And our grocery bill went up. And we had three children. And they ate us out of house and home during the summer. But I can guarantee that our grocery bill never went up that much per child. You know, it's just, that's an excessive amount. It really is. And these families already receive food stamps, WIC, rental assistance.
Right, they're already getting assistance because of their poverty level. From other government agencies and programs.
And in 1995, the Cato Institute did a study of what welfare benefits were in relationship to income after taxes. In 1995, it was $8 an hour. I don't know what it is now, but my bet would be it's probably closer to $16 in North Carolina. This needs to be looked at again. It really does. Where there's a genuine need, we need to feed the kids. But we need to look at the needs again.
Right. Now, again, to me, this problem is another instance of the government stepping in where it doesn't belong.
Yes.
These types of things were never meant to be government responsibility. Our founding fathers were very clear about the duties and responsibilities of the government. And this is not part of it.
As we listen to them explaining these various food programs, as Mary said, not only do we really want to feed the children, but we also want to question how much does it cost to administer feeding the children? Where is that cost hidden away? How many people have we, how much full employment do we have trying to play with the numbers to feed the children?
All right. Well, let me take a pause here for a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll continue this conversation in just a moment. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm in the studio with Bob and Mary Griswold, and we were talking about the Seamless Summer Food Program, or I believe it's called Summer Food Service Program, that's going to be administered by the North Carolina Department of Instruction to feed hungry children throughout the summer. And Bob, you had an interesting comment during the break.
It's funny that you look at the wildlife services or the National Forestry Services, and they put up the signs that say, do not feed the bears because they will become dependent. And here are the other administrations feeding the children and declaring that they won't become dependent. Now, we've got to think in one direction or the other, but you can't cross swords this way.
Very interesting analogy.
And there's another quote, and I wish I could remember who said it. But someone made the comment, the best thing that you can do for your children is get up and go to work every day. Because by doing that, you're setting an example of a work ethic and of working hard. And I just wonder what we're teaching our children when we do this, that don't worry about the summer. We'll feed you during the summer. Your parents don't have to do it. And I just wonder about the lessons we're teaching them.
Well, that's an interesting perspective, because it is about teaching the children. And if you go back into history and look from the founding of this country and the first 200 years of its development and growth, it's a big success story. It was something that had never been accomplished before in history. And this country grew and prospered, and it was all through individuals and their hard work, and their willingness to work hard to achieve great things. And they did. And this country became the leader of the world. And now they've removed a lot of that history. They don't even teach it anymore. And again, the dependence that they're teaching, that you should depend on the government for things that we never had to depend on before.
That's true. There is nothing in our Constitution that allows for what has become of our welfare programs. It's just not there. And again, no one wants people to go hungry or homeless. But we haven't had any success with what we've done. We've spent more money and more money, and the poverty level has not changed.
Right.
So it's time for a new battle plan. It's time to look at what we're doing, the results of what we're doing, and come up with a new idea.
Right. We're in the third and fourth generations of public assistance that they aren't improving their circumstances.
No.
They have more stuff and more things because it's come to the point where everybody thinks those are their rights. They have a right to a cell phone. They have a right to an automobile. Those aren't rights. Those are things that should be earned.
Yes.
I think the other question that we need to ask of our public support is the purpose of welfare to get people working again and get them off welfare, or has it degraded to the purpose of welfare is to ensure continued employment for the welfare workers?
Well, I'll be blunt with you. The purpose of welfare is to ensure that you have another generation of votes when it comes time to be reelected. That's the whole purpose of welfare. Okay? Now, these politicians get up there and they want to make these lengthy speeches sounding their concern for people in poverty and how they want to give them assistance. But that's not their concern. Their concern is getting their vote come election day.
And keeping control of those people. Yes.
Right. And the same thing with the immigration issue. That is why they want to bring these people into the country illegally and give them amnesty. It's not because they're concerned for their well-being. It's because they're looking for another generation of voters to keep them in office. We're going to have to take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We're back in the studios continuing our conversation with Bob and Mary Griswold.
California just passed a law now that will make illegal immigrants eligible for the state health care programs. And that is going, someone has to pay for that. And unfortunately, it's going to be the businesses and the taxpayers of California. Now, anyone in this country under any circumstances is eligible for emergency care. No one is turned away at an emergency room. There is no reason to do this. These are not legal citizens. And we also came across something today that in the census now, when they start figuring out representation, in many cases, there is no indication as to whether the people they're counting are here legally or illegally. And yet they are going to be represented whether they're citizens or not.
Right. There's all kinds of issues associated with the process. I believe it's in Chicago now, and I can't remember the name of it. It's a new virus that a number of people have come down with that never before was here in the States. And guess what?
It's here now.
It's here now because of immigrants that they brought and bussed into these areas. And no medical checks, nothing, just bring them in. And you bring in the disease and everything else that comes with them. And in this heightened state of terrorist activity that we have now, that is also an issue and a concern.
Yes.
So everybody is wants to be compassionate.
Yes.
And help other people out, but not at the sake of losing our own freedoms and rights and destroying the country that we've built over the past two centuries.
No.
Well, guys, I really appreciate your time this morning and the visit that you made to New Hanover County to the school board meeting there to support First Amendment rights for Ms. Koval. Again, CCTA supports and defends the Constitution of the United States of America, and we don't care who you are. It's your First Amendment right to have free speech. It should be defended.
Yes, and the other thing that I would like to say, because of the CCTA, we've been able to take some of the courses that the CCTA offers, and we've taken a couple of courses on the Constitution, and we've taken the critical thinking course. And the critical thinking course really came in handy when we were approached by the people who were trying to remove Mrs. Koval.
All right.
Because we had logical arguments for what we were saying, and they simply did not.
All right.
Well, that concludes our interview with Bob and Mary Griswold and also today's show. I'd like to remind you to visit cctaxpayers.com where you can find out more about Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, how you can join, how you can support us with your contributions, and how to be a sponsor if you so desire. Also, you'll find information on our monthly meeting posted on our homepage there, where we'll bring in public speakers, and it's free and open to the public. And we also would like for you to read about the Booker T. Washington Society essay contest that is being co-sponsored by CCTA. All the details are there at cctaxpayers.com. Please join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call.